Next case is 02-1880, Jared E. Danziger versus Barry F. Luce, successor. Mr. Danziger.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, Chief Justice Moore and Justices. My name is Jared Danziger, and I'm here, appearing here today as an appellant pro se. With me are my father, Sam Danziger, and my uncle, Nathan Danziger. We've agreed to divide our time with 10 minutes for argument. At the conclusion of 9 minutes, Nathan Danziger and Sam Danziger will each make remarks of their own and reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Do you know about our light system?
Yes, 2 minutes at white and one and yeah. Zero at red.
When you've used 13 minutes, the white light will come on, and then that means you've got only 2 minutes left remaining. And
okay.
15 minutes, okay.
Thank you. We're here today as shareholders of Krogan Bank Shares, seeking disclosure of the books and records, not just of parent, but of the subsidiary, which is the question of first impression that we've presented to you. Bank Shares is a, if I may review the facts, is a holding company with a single wholly owned subsidiary known as Krogan Bank. Early on, we determined that the Bank Shares conceded our right that as shareholders we may inspect the parent, but have disputed whether or not we have access to inspect the subsidiary. Although they offered inspection to the subsidiary subject to a confidentiality agreement, that agreement would have cut off our right to speak with other shareholders, which was in fact our purpose in seeking inspection of the subsidiary. At trial court, we were granted, the appellee was granted summary judgment on the basis of our not being shareholders of the subsidiary, shareholders of record, that is. And the Sixth District Court of Appeals agreed with them, and so we presented the issue for cert. We believe that the decision of the trial court and the appellate court misunderstand both the common law right that pertains to shareholders of subsidiaries, as well as the statutory right as it's set forth by the legislature. I'd like to speak today about the common law right and why it should be, why it still continues to exist despite the enactment of a statutory section dealing with the issue, and also as to why the statutory section must be interpreted with respect to the common law tradition of which it grows out of.
You've obviously done a lot of research on this issue. In your research, did you find any Ohio statute that prohibits the bank from providing that information?
No, Your Honor. There's no Ohio statute prohibiting the parent from allowing the shareholder to inspect the records of the subsidiary. The parent, in the case of a wholly owned subsidiary, is fully in control of those records and can make them available.
And is that also true? Is there any special statute on regarding bank holding companies?
Yes, there is a statute in the banking that pertains to companies chartered under the banking code, 1103. However, that statute is cumulative with the rights given under Section 1701. There's no reason to believe that the rights that exist under are exclusionary of rights pertaining to shareholders of the parent. Moreover, the statute in the subsidiary, if it were followed literally, followed to the extent of the interpretation proffered by the appellee, would prohibit creditors with debt covenants from inspecting. Would prohibit judgment creditors, apparently, because the statute that to which they refer, Section 1103, speaks only to any shareholder of the bank. So there's no section that would permit that kind of inspection aside from that.
What was the status of the Ohio, what was the status of the Ohio common law prior to the adoption of this statute, the original adoption of the statute?
Prior to the adoption of the statute, it's not entirely clear because there isn't an extensive case history. However, there are two cases which may refer to the common law. One is Cincinnati Volksblatt, which indicates that the common law does continue to exist in simultaneity with the statute.
There's no common law giving in Ohio prior to the adoption of the statute giving a right to shareholders to examine or make a reasonable request to examine the books of a subsidiary, is there?
Yes, there is, Your Honor. The rule pertaining to parents also pertains to subsidiaries. It pertains to any records that a shareholder might reasonably inspect in order to ascertain the soundness of his investment.
I understand you are not shareholders of the subsidiary, are you?
We're not shareholders of record, no, Your Honor.
Okay, so there's no question you have a right to examine the books of the company of which you are shareholders. That's not the issue.
The question is, where does the court disregard the legal fiction of a separate existence between the parent and subsidiary?
You start out with your common law argument. I wanted to pursue that because, that to me, that's an important question here. If there was common law prior to the adoption of this statute, then we have the issue of to what extent does the statute change all of or any part of the common law. If we don't have any common law, then generally legislatures are able to adopt statutes that give exclusive rights without respect to any common law rights. And I guess I'm wondering what the common law rights were before, as recognized by a court, before the adoption of the statute.
Well, one would presume that the common law in Ohio would have been similar to the common law in its neighboring states, and that common law in the neighboring states does definitely, in the neighboring states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New York, does certainly permit the inspection of the subsidiary, because the purpose of the common law.
Why would we assume that? The law of Ohio and Pennsylvania and Kentucky varies in many, many ways in other areas of law. Why would we assume that because Michigan has a law on the issue that Ohio also has it?
Well, certainly the courts of those states that hosted more corporations would have been more persuasive over the reasoning of the Ohio court because they had more experience in those areas. The purpose of the common law was to prohibit, deter corporate corruption. And the only way that it can do that is if the shareholders have a meaningful inspection of the corporate records, if they can determine what the corporate activities are. And in the case of a wholly owned subsidiary with a parent company that owns no other assets and whose parent company proclaims that its only business is in the holding of the subsidiary, there's no possibility for shareholders on inspection of the parent to determine the soundness of the management and the soundness of the practices by which their investment is maintained.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me just back up a little bit on that statement you just made. I would think that an examination of the parent and the showing of stability and asset management, et cetera, and the reports that are given to the stockholders would, in fact, unless you're alleging that they're fraudulent, would be indication that the investment is a sound one for the purposes of the shareholders of the parent.
Well, there are a couple of considerations there. One would be suits against the parent on an enterprise liability basis. And when you have such a close corporate identity, where in the case of Krogan, you have not just a wholly owned subsidiary and sole subsidiary, but you also have common central management, you have the same identical boards of directors, you have same business location, you have meetings conducted at the same time. You have, in instances where both the corporation and the subsidiary are sued, you have a single counsel responding for both of them. which, you know, is a sharing of corporate assets that would certainly warrant a piercing of the veil for in an enterprise liability case. You have a risk to the assets of the parent through the actions of the subsidiary. But moreover...
Wait a minute. Do you have any of this, or are you just speculating?
No. These are all facts on record, Your Honor. These are all facts that are part of the record.
No. I know that the similarity between the directors, et cetera, I've read all that. Mm-hmm. But you're saying about lawsuits to pierce the corporate veil, and is that going on right now?
In Ohio?
With these parties, with Krogan and the bank?
No, not with respect to these parties, but the purpose of the statute is to allow the shareholders to deter risk to their investment prior to the deterioration in the investment. So, you know, were they to be sued on an enterprise liability basis, the idea would have been that I should have been able to inspect ahead of time to know the extent of my risk. And when you have such great similarities between the parent and the subsidiary, there's enormous amount of reason to disregard the separate corporate fiction. I think it was also relevant that you don't have any courts in this country that have ever, with the exception of an intermediate court in California, that have ever said you can't suspect the subsidiary. The only question is, when do you disregard the separate corporate fiction?
One of the cases that's discussed, either by you or the other side or both, refers in another state to when the subsidiary is in fact the alter ego of the parent. Mm-hmm. Presumably, you know something about these corporations. What does this bank holding company do operationally?
It does nothing, Your Honor. It has no operations except for the fact that it's a filing entity with the SEC. It passes dividends through to the shareholders.
So the entire operational structure of your investment and other shareholders' investment is in the sub?
That's correct. I see that I've now expended 9 minutes of my time, and I'd like to defer to my father and my uncle so that they may make a statement on their own behalf.
Mr. Danziger.
Chief Justices, I'm Nathan Danziger, pro se in this matter. Because of the facts and law argued by Jared Danziger, as are identical to mine, in the interest of saving time, I'm going to request the court be allowed to adopt as argued. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Danziger. Samuel Danziger.
Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, my name is Samuel Danziger.
And let me tell you, you'll need to watch your clock there closely if you want to save time for rebuttal.
Yes.
Okay.
And we would like to save any additional time that we may.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Ridgely.
Thank you, Your Honors. My name is Tom Ridgely, along with my partner Jay Voorhees, seated at council table. We are representing Krogan Bank Shares and Krogan Colonial Bank. With us today is Stephen Futrell. Mr. Futrell is the CEO and president of both of the defendants' respondents.
Who are the shareholders of the subsidiary?
The sole shareholder of the subsidiary is Bank Shares.
And if the sole shareholder of Bank Shares was to ask to inspect the record of the bank, who is that person that has that right?
It would be the corporation's right.
And who in the corporation would have that right? What person? What office?
Presumably the chief executive officer.
So
the chief financial officer.
So the only person under your theory that could inspect the sole asset, I think this is the sole asset of the bank holding company?
That is correct.
So the only person that can really see what the bank is doing, how it's operating, how it's functioning, is the CEO, who's not really a shareholder himself, correct?
The CEO is not a shareholder bank.
And the CFO is not a shareholder?
That is correct.
But the statute says shareholders can examine.
That is correct.
So who physically has the right to look at those records?
I believe it would be an officer of the
but they're not shareholders, and you're asking for a strict statutory.
Well, they would be acting on behalf of the corporation. They have that authority to act on behalf of the corporation.
So the corporation runs the whole bank, and it is the only shareholder, and all the people who invest in the holding company have no ability to figure out what's really happening or examine any records or any books other than to trust what you, the sole shareholder, tell them.
Well, that is not true, Your Honor. In the SEC, let me back up for a second. The Krogan Colonial Bank is organized under 1101 of the revised code. It is examined regularly by the state regulators as well as the federal regulators, but then the SEC requires extensive disclosure of information respecting the downstream bank in SEC filings made by the corporation.
So all the shareholders of the holding company are only limited to the public filings to find out what they've invested in. That's how you think the statute is interpreted.
I believe that is correct in the sense that they are not permitted to, under 1103-16C, examine the books and records of the bank under that statute. And there is no common law that says that a shareholder of a corporation is entitled to review the books and records of subsidiaries. No common law in Ohio.
Counsel, isn't the watchword of the American corporate scene transparency?
I believe that in this day and age, that is a significant factor.
Isn't that what we boast about, that you have transparency here in America? It's a problem for investors overseas in some countries.
I think that through our scheme of federal disclosures and federal regulation, that there is significant transparency. Okay,
Let me walk you through a couple of statutes, because you, in your brief, keep focusing on Chapter 1100-03-16, and suggest that Chapter 1701 doesn't even have application. But in 1100-03-01, it says a banking corporation shall be created, organized, governed, and conducted, and its directors shall be chosen with respect to the same manners as Chapter 1701, 1704 for corporations generally, to the extent that it is not inconsistent with this chapter. So there is a cross-reference, as I read the banking corporate governance, that says if it's not inconsistent with Chapter 1100, our general corporation laws apply to all other matters concerning a bank corporation.
I respectfully disagree with that, Your Honor. I think that the parallel requirements of 1103-16C, to the extent they would be inconsistent with 1701-37C, would control. We don't believe there is, other than some relatively minor inconsequential circumstances here.
Well, let me ask you about another section of the code. Legislative intent, Chapter 1101.02B. It is hereby declared to be the purpose of the General Assembly in enacting Chapters 1101 to 1127 of the revised code to do all of the following. B, provide for the protection of the interests of depositors, creditors, shareholders, and the general public in banks doing business in this state. Now, how do you provide for the protection of the interests of the shareholders when you refuse to let them see the books and records pertaining to their only asset?
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, the shareholder of the bank is the corporation. And as I've discussed with Justice Stratton, the corporation, of course, has that ability to examine the books and records. But there, Your Honor, there is no...
The corporation is an inanimate object.
I understand that, but...
So your argument, it seems, throughout the brief is that nobody has the right to inspect the books and records of the sub, which is conducting all of the business of the parent.
The corporation, through its officers, has the right to inspect the books and records of the sub. I think that Mr. Jared Danziger, in his remarks, was correct that the only cases that provide for going downstream and looking at subsidiaries' books and records by a shareholder of the parent corporation is applying the piercing the corporate veil or the alter ego theory. And under Ohio law, you need to show a fraud being perpetrated. There's not even a suggestion here of fraud. This is an attempt to examine the books and records of the bank.
Well, counsel, the one case that crops up in another state where they talk about either fraud or the sub is the alter ego of the parent. It would seem to me here the sub is clearly the alter ego of the parent.
Your Honor, those cases also say, and consistently from Illinois and from Delaware, that in order for the alter ego theory to apply, there must be something other than sole ownership, other than common directors, and other than common officers. What they say is there has to be a commingling of funds. There is no suggestion there's a commingling of funds. They have to have a situation where the subsidiary does not maintain itself separately, and that certainly is not the case here because they have totally separate and distinct regulatory bodies regulating their conduct. And if there were that kind of fiction destruction, which is not the case.
Counsel, you're asking the Supreme Court of Ohio to put out a case in which the syllabus essentially would be that shareholders of a corporation whose only asset is a subsidiary corporation have no right to inspect the books and records of the subsidiary corporation, period. That's what you're asking us to hold.
That is correct, and I would say—
And what is the public purpose served by such a holding?
The public purpose is to recognize that a corporate entity is properly formed and properly operating as a separate corporation, and there has to be something extreme to pierce the corporate veil, and there is no suggestion that that's the case here. And I might add, Your Honor.
So the public purpose is to enable corporations in this state to have all of their assets concentrated in a sub and to be able to secrete all information regarding the operation of the sub from the owners of the company.
No, Your Honor, because, again, with all of the regulatory filings and the SEC filings—
That's true of a bank. You wanting us to limit this case only to banks?
No, absolutely not. I think the principles that you're asking, you're proposing to apply have not been applied anywhere in the last 20, 30, 40 years. There's not a single Supreme Court case, not an intermediate court case in the last 15 or 20 years, including the Delaware cases that Ohio looks to, that says that if you just have common ownership, or if you have sole ownership, if you have common directors and officers, that that's sufficient to pierce the corporate veil. In this day and age, there are many types of holding companies, including bank holding companies. The other reason
Wouldn't there be an easier and more direct route, and it's not disturbing any statutory law in Ohio? It's not piercing any corporate veil. It is simply to read into the meaning of the statute when the shareholder is authorized for any reasonable purpose and proper purpose to inspect the books and records of the bank, that the books and records include all of the books and records of the sub.
I think you're asking me a question about 170137C.
No, we'll stick with your favorite statute, 0316.
Well, then you have to be a shareholder of the bank. There is not a further downstream bank. There is a holding company and
no,
a bank.
No, I'm saying the definition of books and record is of the bank or of the corporation for which they are shareholders is broad enough to include all of the books and records of a wholly owned subsidiary. We just simply interpret the statute as it refers to books and records as being broad enough to include that information.
Well,
and then we're in and out, and we haven't disturbed the statute. We haven't overturned any precedent. And it would seem to me we've done substantial justice for people who invest in corporations.
Under 1103.16, Your Honor, to inspect books and records of a bank, you must be a shareholder of the bank. That I think what you're asking is, could you interpret 1701.37C to somehow expand the definition of shareholder of the corporation to say, or to examine the books and records of the corporation to somehow go downstream from that? But that is not the way the statute reads. It says any shareholder of the corporation shall have the right to examine the articles of the corporation, its regulations, its books and records of account, minutes and records of shareholders. So that it is our position that a clear reading of the statute, both statutes, Your Honor, limits it to reviewing the books and records of the corporation in which you are a shareholder. I might also add that there is another a regulatory reason for a bank holding company that in order to protect the assets of the downstream bank, in the event that you have multiple subsidiaries, and you do not in this case, but they're certainly under its charter, it could have a mortgage company or whatever, it segregates and protects the assets of that bank against intrusion. So that what they are asking you to do is to, in effect, pierce the corporate veil in the context of reviewing the books and records, of the corporation. And it is our position under the clear meaning of the statutes and under no Ohio law and no foreign jurisdiction law permitting it under these circumstances that you should affirm. If the court concludes that it should not affirm, there is a separate issue that was briefly discussed in our memorandum or our brief that provides that the issue down below was who is entitled to inspect. The issue of the scope of the inspection and the use of confidential and proprietary information that Mr. Danziger has said he wants to disseminate to public shareholders, particularly in light of some of the SEC regulations that have recently been promulgated, would be a serious problem. And so if there is a reversal, and we urge you not to do that, we ask you to remand to the trial court.
Counsel, it may have been inadvertent. You referred to him distributing to public shareholders. Is there such a thing as a non-public shareholder, or is?
I think there is such a thing as a non-public shareholder, but what I'm saying is that his intent at the corporation
is to share,
that information with his fellow shareholders in the corporation.
Other owners of the company.
Other owners of the corporation. Yeah.
Do we know how many shareholders, does the record indicate how many shareholders there are? Is this a,
I don't believe.
A closely held corporation?
No, it is not a closely held. It's an SEC reporting company, Your Honor.
Counsel, you keep saying that the officers or directors of the holding company can inspect. What's your statutory authority that gives them the right? Because the statute, the way you interpret it, says the shareholder, which is a inanimate object. So where do you get the authority? What's your case law or your statutory authority that says that the inanimate object can be really somebody other than a shareholder?
Well, Your Honor, the general principles, and I'm sure there are statutory sites, and you've asked me a question I can't answer off the top of my head as to statutory sites, but the corporation acts through its officers and directors. Otherwise, it could not act at all. And so that the shareholders empower the directors and the officers to act on their behalf.
But that's very different than a ownership interest and what the rights of the ownership interest is. That's something very different from an officer and a director.
Well, except for the fact that in marshaling the assets, in administering the business of the corporation, including its downstream assets, that is a power vested by the shareholders in the officers and directors of the corporation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ridgely. Mr. Danziger, Jared, you have about three minutes of rebuttal time.
Thank you. I'd like to direct you to a recent case that was mentioned in our reply brief, Security First v. U.S. Dye, which concerned, it's a Delaware case, and I believe Mr. Ridgely has misstated the holdings of recent courts with regard to inspection of subsidiaries. In Delaware, this case concerns a holding company and its wholly owned Ohio savings and loan subsidiary. And in this case, the question before the court was whether or not the subsidiary could be inspected as a matter of the scope of inspection. The court remanded the issue to the lower court to determine whether or not those records were covered by the purpose proposed by the plaintiff. However, what's quite clear from the holding is that the records of the subsidiary were accessible in this type of a case.
What is the style and citation of that case?
I'm sorry, it's a 1997 case, Security First v. U.S. Dye. It's mentioned in our reply brief.
Thank you.
If you look at page 570 in the reporter, demands F and G are property of the subsidiary. I'd like to return to the issue of whether or not the common law is still in effect here. You asked us to whether or not there is an Ohio common law regarding this subject. Although there's a limited number of cases for us to determine this upon, you do have two cases, Grossman and Cleveland Cartage, which are decided in lower level courts, which do appear to make their determinations on the basis of common law, not citing any case law for shareholders inspection.
Counselor, let me ask you a question that was asked of opposing counsel, and that is, do you have knowledge of the number of shareholders that have stock in the parent corporation, and what is your relationship, or what is your holdings in relationship?
Myself, I own 175 shares. My father and my uncle own roughly 0.5%, and there are other holdings within our family. I believe there are about 1,000 shareholders of the corporation. However, I don't think that information is in the record. And I'm not certain of it. And there are also non-registered shareholders of whom I'm not aware.
Does the record, the statute, assuming that we would apply the statute to this case, which seems to me to be difficult to do, but if we do that, the request has to be for reasonable and proper purpose. Has that been stated? Do we find that in the record,
the reasonable and proper purpose is presumed, and there's Ohio case law that goes directly to that point. I believe it is Cincinnati Volksblatt, Your Honor.
But that was not decided. The reasonable and proper purpose was not decided or even reached in this case. Is that correct? In your case?
No, Your Honor. The presumption is that we possess a proper purpose. The purpose is that we've proposed is to speak to the other shareholders. The sufficient facts are in the record for you to make a determination as of law that we have a proper purpose.
The bank argues that issue was not determined, that they were contesting the propriety of your request or the purposes to which you were, and that wasn't actually decided below.
No, you are correct, Your Honor. The right. Court below did not make right. a determination as to the purpose.
Thank
I see my time is concluded.
Thank
you very much.
Be advised of our opinion.